Right behind me on the screen, you're going to see some pictures start to roll. And all of these pictures are pictures of the earth. Some of them are of the world. You get from outer space. Maybe you kids, maybe some of you children. Maybe one day God will raise you up and you'll be an astronaut and you'll get to see from that perspective. Some of you maybe, if you like me, you like to fly. You're able to see over places. I love when I'm flying in an airplane, able to look out and wonder, do they see me like I see them right now? I mean, being able to see just the landscape dotted. And then the other picture that you're going to see is also of the earth, of the world, and it's Riverdale. It's us right out here on Warrior Drive. Depending on where you're looking, depending on your location, is what you're going to see in those three pictures. That's a lot like Revelation. If you've got your Bibles right now, I want you to open up because we've been walking through a series. We've been walking through a teaching series the last several weeks, and it's called The Reigning King. It's about Jesus who is reigning, and we're walking through the book of Revelation. So if this is your first Sunday here and you're going, whoa, I stepped into Revelation. Listen, here's what on that little card there in front of you, you can see I've already done it. It's blank on the backside. You can take a few notes, all right? I want you to be able to follow along, and whoever you came with, or you can come by, you and I can talk a little bit. I want you to be able to get your questions answered. But in this, the last several weeks, we've been talking about in 6 and 7 and now 8, we've been talking about the seal judgments, S-E-A-L, the seal judgments. Today, we're going to spend some time talking about the trumpet judgments. And in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about something called the bowl judgments. And I've kind of said this to you guys a few times, that these judgments, they are talking about the same thing, but from different perspectives. And so some of you may feel like, man, there's a lot of little strings hanging down. You've been talking about these things, and I need somebody to connect the dots. So what I want to do today, I want to grab those strings and bring them together so that you kind of go, ah, okay, I want you to see. And each week, I've been using this little rickety stand here to say, these judgments are looking at different perspectives as we're walking through this. Well, what we're looking at is the tribulation period. People who study the tribulation or they study Revelation, some people look at it from a futuristic standpoint, that the tribulation and Revelation is all about the last 7 years of the world. It happens in those last 7 years. We come from the standpoint, we're teaching from the standpoint that the tribulation is a long period throughout church history from the time that Jesus ascended back to heaven after his resurrection until today and until Jesus comes back. We're in the tribulation period and we're seeing tribulation continue to increase as we walk through. And you're going to see that in just a few moments. All throughout history, church history, all throughout time, there have been judgments and tribulations that continue to build on top of one another. So when I talk about that comes from different perspectives, let me help you to see that. Let's say from this perspective, we're looking at the tribulation, the seals, those seven seals, that looks at the tribulation period from the standpoint of those who are sealed in Christ. Their redemption has been bought, paid for. They have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. So they're looking at those judgments. Remember the four horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse at the beginning of chapter 6. They're looking at those judgments and going, and the angels are saying, you're sealed, you're protected. You're not protected from going through those issues, but your faith is sealed. You will not turn your back. You remember us talking about in seal number 5, the martyrs who are under the throne. And they're saying, oh Lord, how long before you're going to avenge your name? And you will specifically remember, if you've been here for a while, we've talked about, man, I hope if that ever came to me, I would be able to stand. Well, as a true follower of Christ, if you are sealed in Jesus, you have submitted your life, you are sealed in Jesus, then you would be able to stand firm. You know why? Because you are a true, authentic, sealed believer of Jesus. Well, then let's come over here now. We're about to start talking about the trumpet judgments. The trumpet judgments are going to have another perspective. We're still looking at the tribulation, but we're looking at the tribulation from the perspective of those who are unredeemed. Those who are, it's happening in heaven, but it's from those who are unredeemed. They've never surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. In Scripture, whenever there is a trumpet, and we're going to talk more about this, hope you have a pen and a piece of paper. Whenever we talk about trumpets, when trumpets, you know what they do? They sound the alarm. Trumpets are all about sounding the alarm. And so when that alarm goes off, when that trumpet blasts, it's saying, wake up. Hey, this is coming. Turn, turn. Redeemed, redeemed. Listen, turn, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about the bowl judgments, which will be looking at the same issue, the same tribulation, but from a different perspective. So that's kind of what's going on right here. Now, remember, I'm doing a little backtrack because I think it's so important. When you remember National Treasure, Benjamin Gates, when he's trying to figure out all the different codes, he's got the cipher there and he's trying to spin that thing, trying to get it to open. Most people, when they read Revelation, you know what their cipher is, what their key is? Most people, it's CNN, Fox News, it's some great podcast, it's a popular book. They're looking at the newspapers trying to fit this world event into here. How does Iraq, Iran, all that, where's China, these acid rain, where does all that fit? Apache helicopters, they're going to swoop in and blow everything. Listen, when you're studying Revelation, the key, the cipher for Revelation is always the Old Testament. There are over 600 references to the Old Testament in Revelation. So you go back. Whenever you read something in Revelation and you go, that's a little different. Don't quite get that. Then you go back into the Old Testament and what was happening there? What was being said? What was being taught? What is the picture here? Because it is pointing us to something. Because so often in today's world, when we begin to think, Revelation was apocalyptic. That means there's a lot of symbols. There's a lot of symbols in there. And the struggle sometimes is, for many people, because the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, then the bowl judgments, they all come right after one another. And we read that from our mindset as it being chronological and historical. Remember, this is not a puzzle book. Like, I'm looking for the right thing to put right here. This is a picture book. It's a series of visions that God gave of the tribulation to John to tell the people, here we go, to tell us, those of us who follow Jesus Christ, that in the day and time in which this happened and in the day and time in which we live today, we can make it. When you think the world is against you, when you feel like you're going under, when you feel like there's not enough month at the end of my check, or I don't got enough money, my kids are freaking, I don't know what to do, I feel like I'm being overrun, I want you to hear this. We can make it. Why? Because Jesus is still on his throne. And we're going to see in this passage today, as we read through, that all of this is so that we know we have hope. We have victory. If you got a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to write down a couple of things. This is going to take just a second, but I want you to be able to hear this. So I want you to see how these two relate. In the seal judgment, seal 1 through 5 are past, present, and future. They relate past, present, and future. Seal 6 was a couple of weeks ago, and in seal 6, that's when the world ended as we knew it. Seal 7 was when heaven goes silent for 30 minutes, and it's like everyone's going, oh, snap. It's over. That's the return of Christ. That's what happened there. Well, now then we move into trumpets. The trumpets, trumpet 1 through 6, they've been blowing for 2,000 years. Trumpet 7, which we're going to hit in a couple of weeks, is the end of the world. It is Christ returning. It is the final blow. So again, we're seeing the same things as we look and as we move through here. Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 through 5, CJ preached on this a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about how there was an angel in that seal And he was told to take a censer. Now, I don't know if you know what a censer is. If you grew up in a Catholic background or an Orthodox background, it's a little ball that has like three chains that go to it. They fill it up with incense, and this is where they swing the censer. Some of you are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. Well, the picture here, remember, in Scripture, incense represents the prayers of the saints. And so remember the seal number 5, those saints, those martyrs, they had been praying and they said, God, how long before you avenge your name? That was their prayer. Seal 6, he says he takes that censer and he puts fire and hell and blood in it. And it says he starts to swing it to the earth and it begins to rain down. And that was the answer to the prayers of the martyrs. Revelation chapter 8, beginning of verse 6. That's caught us up. Okay, if you're crazy and you're going, I don't know what you're talking about, or if you're caught up, I need you to hang on because I'm going to move quickly today. What I'm going to do is we're going to talk through the first 4 trumpets quickly, and then I'm going to give you some application and wrap up of it. Okay, you with me? That's a shake head. Everybody with me? All right, there we go. Revelation chapter 8, verse 6 through 12 says this, "Now the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hell and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood." Verse 9 says, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water, because it had been made bitter. Verse 12, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third, so that a third of the light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Now remember, whenever there are trumpets that are blown in Scripture, it's always announcing something. A king is coming, destruction is coming, judgment has happened. There is something that is about to take place. This passage goes back to Joshua chapter 6, all right? Write down Joshua chapter 6, because you want to go back there. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua is about to take the nation of Israel over the Jordan River into the brand new country, the promised land. And there's a city there called Jericho. Do you remember the story of Jericho? God told Joshua, you got to take over Jericho, but you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the people. You're going to march around the city, but you're going to send out the priest first, and they're going to blow their trumpet. You're going to march the ark around it, the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to march it around. You're going to do it silently except for the blowing of the trumpets. You're going to do that for 6 days, not saying a word, only the blowing of the trumpet. And then you're going to go back to camp. On the 7th day, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go out. You're going to march around that wall 7 times, and you're going to continue to blow that trumpet. On the 7th time around, there's going to be a long trumpet blast, and when that trumpet blast happens, you're going to shout for the glory of God, and the walls are going to come down. Now, the reason that we know or believe that this is pointing to that, because on the 7th trumpet, a few chapters later, guess what happens? There's going to be a 7th trumpet that is going to blow. It's going to blast, and when it blasts, the Scripture tells us that Babylon, the world system, is going to fall, and Jesus is going to take over. He's going to call us home. The question today for this is, on the 7th trumpet, would you be ready? Remember, trumpets are warnings. They're signs. They're calling out. Here's the question. Would you be ready? Because the trumpets are already blasting. The question is, are you hearing them? Are you responding to them? Because they are calling out to you. They're calling out to you. Would you be ready to respond? Just like Zechariah chapter 6 pointed to the four horsemen in the Old Testament that we read about in Revelation, in these first four trumpets, we're about to start talking about them. In these first four trumpets, there are pictures, and you're going to recognize this, I believe. Some of these trumpets, most of these trumpets, are going to open up. These judgments, they go back to Exodus and to the plagues that happened when Moses went to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Trumpet number one, hopefully you write these down. First trumpet was in verse 7. Trumpet number one is in verse 7, and it said that it was hell and fire. Now, hell, that would be H-A-I-L, not H-E-L-L. My East Texas gets in the way there sometimes. Hell and fire mixed with blood, and it was thrown to earth. And it says that a third of the earth was destroyed. Now, this corresponds to the seventh plague in Exodus. This corresponds to the seventh plague. In the seventh plague in Exodus, hell rained down, H-A-I-L. It rained down, and it says that all of the crops were destroyed. There was no more food. That was a very literal thing that happened in the plague time. Very literal thing happened. In Revelation, I believe that this is a symbolic, metaphorical picture for us that points to us that there's going to be great famine and hunger that takes place across the world, and it's going to only be increasing. Folks, you realize that today we live in a world where food is of abundance, and yet we throw away how much food a day? But there are worlds on the other side. Remember, not all of this is happening directly here, because this book was not written just to America. It was written to the world. Do you realize that today there are people who are starving, who are dying, who have no food? There is famine. There is hunger. There has been natural disaster happen, and it says that the hunger is only going to increase. It's only going to increase. Trumpet number two. Trumpet number two tells us this. Verse 8. Trumpet 2, the second angel blew, second trumpet, says that something like a great mountain was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea turned to blood, a third of the sea creatures died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This goes back, I believe, to the very first plague in Exodus, the very first plague. Do you remember what the first plague was? The very first plague affected the Nile River. Now, I don't know if you remember, the Nile River had in Egyptian culture, the Nile River was a god. That's where everybody, literally, they worshiped it as a god, one of the gods. And it's where they got life, it's where they got food, it's where they got water. And when there is another god, do you know what God does? He strikes down the foreign god. And the scripture says that he destroyed it. He turned it to blood. And when he turned that Nile to blood, the fish died. It said they stank, they couldn't eat, they couldn't drink, nothing. Nothing like that. They couldn't do anything because he attacked it. Well, also, I ask you to underline, mark, circle something like. Notice that it said something like. Did you get that? Something like a great mountain. In the Old Testament, mountains are symbolic for nations that do not follow God and world systems. World systems that do not honor the Lord. Notice with me in Jeremiah, if you've got your Bible, you can turn back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51, 21. Jeremiah is prophesying, and he's prophesying in the name of the Lord, and here's what he says. He says, behold, Jeremiah 51, 25, he says, behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I'm against you, O destroying mountain, declares the Lord, which destroys the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags and make you a burnt mountain. Now, what John sees here, I believe, back in Revelation, when he sees that trumpet, that something like a mountain goes into the water, they begin to destroy it, I believe that what he's beginning to see is world powers that are overthrown, godless world powers that are overthrown, godless world philosophies that are against God, and they begin to be overthrown. Here's what I want you to catch. Did you realize that there's never been a world power ever stay a world power? The ancient dynasties of China, as wonderful as they were, gone. Egypt, gone. Rome, gone. The Vikings and the Goths who ravaged all of Europe, gone. The Mongols, gone. Folks, I want you to hear this. The great iron curtain, down. That ought to be a word to us in America. Listen, any world dominant power that does not follow God will not stand. Will not stand. So those of us who may be worshiping our nation, who think that we're America and we've got it, I want you to hear this. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to God. I would also say world philosophies. It doesn't matter if it's capitalism, Marxism, fascism, me-ism, economicism. If it does not line up with the Word of God and it is not based on the Word of God, I want you to hear, I don't even care if it's based on the Word of God. This is the only thing that will stand true. The Word of God and the testimony of man is the only thing that causes us to overcome. So listen, what I believe that he is seeing here in that second trumpet is the downfall of all ungodly, worldly systems. Number three, trumpet number three is in verse 10. The third angel blows the third trumpet in verse 10, and it says that a star falls to the earth, and that star is called wormwood. And when that star falls, it pollutes a third of the water, fresh waters, it pollutes a third of them. Now, wormwood is an herb. All right, wormwood is an herb. We don't use it in our cooking and those types of things. But in the Bible, wormwood was a symbol for suffering and lament. This herb, wormwood, is so powerful, so strong, so bitter. 1 ounce of it will pollute 500 gallons of water. 1 ounce, a little bit of this herb makes 500 gallons of water unusable, poisoned, bitter. You cannot even drink it. You can't even drink it. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 15, Jeremiah is speaking, and he says this, "Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food, and I will give them poisonous water to drink." God is speaking this to his own chosen country, Israel, and he says, listen, you've been following foreign gods. You've been following after a godless system. You're putting your trust in that. And he says, I'm going to poison you for it. I'm not going to stand for it. Notice this is a judgment that God himself brings. And I want you to hear this. There are so many godless philosophy systems today trying to teach us and say, hey, you need to do marriage like this. Hey, you need to do sexuality like this. Hey, you don't know if you're a man or a woman, that's all right. You can be whatever you want to be. There are so many godless systems out there today that are trying to tell us how to relate one to another that have nothing to do with what the Word of God has called us to do and believe and act as followers of Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear, I believe that's exactly what trumpet three is all about. The judgment is blowing right now. The judgment is blowing right now. And the question is what and who are you following and listening to and building your life on? Trumpet number four, quickly. Trumpet number four in verse 12. The fourth angel blows the fourth trumpet, and it says that a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars were struck, and they brought darkness all around. This is directly from Joel chapter 2, I believe. Joel chapter 2, when you go back there, you look at it, you're going to see the exact same language. And it is a prophecy that this is coming in those end days. This specifically corresponds back with the ninth plague, in Exodus. Do you remember what happened in that plague? Stick with me here, guys. Ladies, stick with me here. This is important. You remember that ninth plague, what happened? There was a darkness that settled across all of Egypt, except for one place in Egypt, the land of Goshen. And who was in the land of Goshen? It was the Israelites, where God had sealed them in. It said that the darkness was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Yet in the land of Goshen, where God's people were sealed and protected, life went on. I want you to hear me. Today, I believe that the spiritual darkness that is around us today, and if you don't feel it, I'm praying that your eyes would be open, just like Elisha did to his servant, that you would be able to see and understand the spiritual darkness. You know why it's there? Because of the godless world systems that are invading and are calling us to. Listen, a little bit of wormwood polluted 500 gallons. I want you to hear me in this. The godless world systems have a little bit of truth. Do you know what the worst kind of lie is? The one that has a little bit of truth in it. Parents, you know this, don't you? This is why Jesus has called us to be the light of the world so that we can stand. Listen, there is hope. You have victory because of Jesus. Those of you who are older parents, you have older kids, maybe grandkids. Do you remember the day when you were raising kids and you were going, I don't know if I can send them out into this. Are they going to be able to withstand? I asked my mom. I remember having children getting ready for school. And what do I do? Mom, when I was coming up, were you scared for me spiritually? And she said, oh gosh, yes. I was so worried. Well, I mean, are you going to stand strong in your faith? Are you going to be able to make it? You know, looking back, I think I did. I think I've done all right. But it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with, number one, I've trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He's changed my life. Do you know why? Because I had a godly mom who was pouring her heart out, who was walking with me, who was studying the Word, who was looking at the times, who was helping to equip us. Parents, I want you to hear this. If you think your kids, you're worried about your kids and you're going, I don't know if they're going to be able to make it. I don't know if they're going to be able to stand in this. Let's get them to CJ. Let's get them to Janine. I want you to hear this. You're their youth pastor. You're their children's pastor. We're the associate pastors. You know what our job is? It's to equip you, to help you to grow. Your kids can make it today. But I want you to hear this. If you're not making it, they're not going to make it. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm calling you to get off the world system and to get into the Word. What does the Word have to say? What does the Word have to say? There are so many systems out there today that have a little bit of truth. And you know what ends up happening? You may hit that golf ball and go, oh, that was awesome. And all of a sudden, that thing just tails off at the far end of it. And you thought it was going to be awesome, and it was way off in a ball and high weeds. A little bit of truth will get you shipwrecked. Those are the four trumpets. Quickly, I'm going to give you three things I want us to think about. Number one is this, is that God, we can see that God's judgments intensify. God's judgments intensify. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 24? In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said that the end of times are going to be coming, and they're going to be like, it's going to feel like birth pangs. Those of you who have given birth to babies, you know what that feels like. Those contractions, they start, and then they intensify, and then they intensify, and then they intensify, and it keeps growing. The scripture tells us, listen, God's judgments are going to continue to intensify. The seal judgments, quickly with me. The seal judgments, as we read through those in chapter 6 and in the beginning of chapter 8, it says that they affected 25% of the world. In the trumpet judgments, did you see how much it affects? A third. It's growing in its intensity. In 2019, the World Economic Forum looked back to 2019, and it said, in 2019, there were 819 natural disasters around the world, which is a 30% increase over 30 years. Folks, we just remembered. I want you to hear this. We just remembered March the 3rd. You remember what happened March the 3rd a year ago? A tornado came through Nashville, East Nashville, went to Mount Juliet. I grew up in East Texas, what used to be the tornado belt, where it happened in May through October. Tornado season is all season now, all year long. Those of you who have been on the coast, you lived on the coast, you know about hurricanes and how bad things were, and how bad hurricanes are. Listen, today we're not measuring, we're measuring things in supercells. Those of you who are from the who are from the northern part of the country where snow used to be and is not anymore, listen, what we're talking about right now is the intensifying of the judgments. Yes, does climate change happen? But there is no debate about that. But here's the question. People are debating, is it this or is it this? Is it this? Here's what I can tell you. God said, listen, I'm going to send my judgments and they're going to intensify in those last days. And it's here. Meteorologically, it's here. Listen, we're in an age of medical breakthroughs, aren't we? Isn't it awesome? But 2019 brought a small little virus with all these peculiar proteins attached to them and has shut us down for the last year and a half. The scripture says it's going to only intensify because his judgments will intensify. Listen, as your pastor, I think not only is it weather-related, not only is it physical, medical related. I think culturally we're in a unique time in our world today. I think that there are social pressures today. I think we are at a boiling point in many ways of what the world tells us how we ought to relate brothers and sisters 1 to 1. There is a philosophy, a deadly philosophy, I believe, a godless philosophy out there right now called critical race theory, CRT. Now, I want you to stick with me. You're going to go, I don't even know if I know what that is. Some of you do know what it is. It's time that we get involved and understand. Listen, does CRT, does critical race theory have some truth to it? Yes, it's got some truth to it. But when it is mixed with what it talks about, it will lead us in a deadly situation here. CRT at its base says this: there are two classes of people. There are the people who are oppressed, and there are those who are the oppressors. CRT calls us to divide ourselves, divide by race, by class, by sexuality. It says that there are winners, there are losers. CRT says that those who are depending on whatever class, whatever race, whatever, you pick it, because it's not just one or the other, it's pitting everyone against everyone. And it says that either you're going to have to, you're either going to give up power, are you going to take power? The gospel according to CRT is this: sin is oppression. Salvation is liberation. I want you to hear me. That is against everything that the gospel teaches us. The gospel teaches us that all people, I need you to hear me, all people are created in the image of God. Everyone. Every person deserves dignity because we are created. We are image bearers. It doesn't matter who you are. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that all oppression is sin. The gospel tells us that the only way that we can be right with God, the only salvation, is found in Jesus Christ. He is the one who atoned for us. And when my life is correct with God vertically, I can relate to you horizontally correctly. That doesn't mean that I always do it. And then when I don't, I'm in sin. The meta-narrative, the big picture in CRT is oppression to liberation. The big picture, the meta-narrative for the gospel is this: it's creation to redemption, because we were all created and we can all be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The story here is all about when I am in a right relationship here, I can be in a right relationship here. Where CRT wants to divide us into groups and segment us, the greatest way to bring down a church is for us to divide up. The gospel unites us, and I need you to hear me on this. In this place right here, in this church, the gospel should banish racism. The gospel should banish racism. I don't care what you look like, the language you speak, you're welcome here. It doesn't matter. You are welcome here. This right here, all peoples deserve dignity. Where the gospel unites, you know what CRT wants to do? It wants to divide us up. It wants to divide us up. And Paul tells us that in Christ, there is no male, there is no female, there is no barbarian, there is no Scythian, there is no Greek, there is no Jew. We are one in Jesus Christ. And folks, I want you to add, right now you may be thinking, so does the CRT not have some truth? Yeah, it does. But just like a little bit of wormwood pollutes all the water. CRT, because it is not based in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to lead you in a direction that you don't need to go. And I want you to know, whether it is medical, whether it is weather, whether it is cultural, 2020, it was horrible. But the scripture tells us the judgments are going to intensify. It's going to continue to get worse. You need to hear this. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can overcome. You can have victory. You can have hope. You know why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So first, the judgments are intensifying. Number two, real quickly. Number two, God's grace is indescribable. God's grace is indescribable. Anywhere in Scripture, there are trumpets. You remember me saying, it's announcing something. It's a call to action. It's a call to arms. It's the king is coming. It is judgment is happening. War is coming. In these trumpet judgments, here's what you need to see. A majority of mankind is not going to turn to him. It is a call out, though. It is a call out. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, our perspective of this time, during this time, when we're standing here and we're seeing these happen, our judgment is this. What we see of this judgment should be, listen, the reason God is doing this is that he is calling us back to himself. When people who don't follow him are going, God, what are you doing? And they're shaking their fist. We begin to cry out, listen, there is hope in Jesus. He can change you. He can give you victory in this. He may not pull us out of this situation, but he will give us the ability to walk through it victoriously. Why? Because he's changed our heart. He's placed us into a new family, and we are one together. We are one body walking with one another. I want you to hear me. There is hope and victory today in Jesus Christ. We don't have to fall to a world system. We don't have to walk after a godless system. We don't have to do this alone. We can walk together. Some of you in here, you're insurance agents, or you've had to deal with insurance people before. There's a phrase that insurance agents have. Some of you may have heard it before. It's called, well, that's an act of God. You know what that means, don't you? Not gonna pay. That is truth, though. That is truth. There are things that happen that are direct acts of God. And I want you to hear me. Whether it is a terrorist attack, whether it is a disease, whether it is a flood, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's whatever it is, God is acting and he is calling you and he is saying, listen, wake up. The trumpet is being sounded. That's a sick little trumpet, isn't it? Wake up. I'm calling you today, and I want your life to change. You know what that does for us as followers of Jesus? For us, we're saying, listen, come to Jesus. Your friend who is receiving these things, who are looking at you and going, you follow Jesus, and yet this is happening? What's going on? You're able to say, this is his act of grace in your life. He's calling you today. And I want you to know I am too. In this room right here, online right now, some of you have never surrendered your life to Christ. And we're calling you. I'm calling you. I prayed for you this morning that you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ. God's judgments are intensifying. His grace is indescribable. Number three, God's call is for us to live sent intentionally. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 tells us that there's going to be a day. Jesus himself said this. He said, there's going to be a day when there's going to be one more trumpet that's blown. It's going to be a long blast, and it says that every everybody's going to see his return. I believe that's a literal return. We're all going to see that. How is that going to happen? I don't know, but it says everybody's going to see it. He's coming again. There's going to be one more trumpet blast. And as a result, we should be living sent. We should be telling people about Jesus Christ. This water right here today moved because somebody lived sent and said, listen, there's a trumpet going to be blown. Do you know Jesus? My question today is, do you know him? Are you hearing that trumpet sound? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? That's why you were brought here today. There is a pastor. He's a Scottish preacher, pastor. His name is Alistair Begg, B-E-G-G. I love to hear him teach. He's got that Scottish brogue that you want to try to imitate. I'm not going to do it. I've got that East Texas twang that is not necessarily music, but it's when he speaks, he has something that he says about Revelation in a series that I followed along with. He says this. He says, in Revelation, the plain things are the main things. You ought to be writing that down. That's good stuff. In Revelation, the plain things are the main things, not this kind of plain, like plainly seen. So when you read something in Revelation and you, I don't know. I don't even know what that's talking about. You're going back to the Old Testament. But when you read and you realize Jesus won, he defeated death and hell and sin, and because I have surrendered my life to him, I win. I'm victorious. Because Jesus brings hope, we have hope. If you're fearful today because of something you're walking through, I want you to hear this. Jesus didn't come to give you a spirit of fear. The scripture says a spirit of timidity. He said, but one of power and one of love. And that's not something you got to drum up. He gives it to us. Whatever you're facing today, I want you to hear Jesus has overcome it. He'll give you strength to walk through it. You know, the old preacher saying is, if he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. That's truth. It's not because of anything you do, but it's because of Jesus. And so today, would you come to Jesus? Would you surrender your life to him? Would you submit your life to him? Believer, listen, you got to know the word. We got to get in the word. We have classes to help you get in the word. We can give you resources. Come and see me, see CJ, see Kurt. We want to walk with you so that you understand how to understand this Bible, how to study it for yourself, so that you can equip your children. You can talk with your neighbors. You are able to give a reason for the hope that you have. Jesus, we magnify you today and we honor you. I'm asking today, Jesus, that you would be glorified by the things we've done today. Whether it is singing, whether it's giving, whether it's the study of your word, may you be glorified. You said that when you were lifted up, you would draw all men, all women, all boys, all girls to yourself. Today, God, I pray that if there is anyone in here who is struggling with sin, that you would free them today by the power of your word. I pray that you would give them courage to speak to someone so that brothers and sisters can undergird them and walk with them. God, I pray that you would save people. I pray that you would call people to deeper walk with you, that you would equip them, that you would help us to walk with them and equip them. Father, I pray that you would help us to leave this place change, that we wouldn't be the same people as we walked in here. And that would be because of your son and his blood. May we surrender our lives. If there's someone who's never done that, call them out today. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Today, here's how I'm asking you to respond. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask you to respond through singing, through giving, through prayer. Maybe you need to come and see me back there. Here's what I'm asking. Do not be passive in this time. Don't sit back. You lean in and you engage and respond to what Jesus has spoken to you about, how the Holy Spirit has moved you today. Zion, Zeke, Kelly, come.